Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets More Than Money Edition. This one is special. I got David with me, but not only do I have David with me, I have 30 members of the Money Mafia live right here. They're going to ask questions to us. We are going to ask questions to them. So they're going to be coming on live. We've never done anything like this before. This is a business and booze happy hour. If you're listening to this and you're wondering what we're doing, we do it once a month. So pay attention to the Trading Secrets podcast page. We'll announce when those go out. But David, before we get to the Money Mafia here, you got anything you want to, you know, leave us with before we get going?
Not leave you with, but I got to listen. We did the focus group. It was a blast. It was about a month ago. We actually had someone who emailed Trading Secrets about something that they learned from the podcast that changed their life, and her story was incredible. And it's made us think, why are we doing this live Q&A? And the biggest reason why is we really want to start dedicating the Thursday episode to the core and the root of this podcast, which is giving our listeners tangible take-home advice, whether that's financial information, whether that's consumer information, whether that's really anything that they can take away that feel like they're a better investor, a better understanding of financial literacy. That is why we're doing it. So we are committed for the next month, the next four Thursdays, to commit to things like this, a live Q&A. We're going to do voicemails for you to call in when you have a question that we're going to play the voicemails on an episode and answer. We're looking to have people who are listeners who have taken things from the advice, talk about those advice that they've taken and applied to their real life. We are dedicated to that. Monday, it'll be more around entertainment. We'll have a lot of guests on, high-end guests that we already have. We have a huge banquet. But Thursdays, we're dedicating to the people, the Money Mafia. I'm excited. Bourbon in hand. Ready to rip it. Let's go.
I love it. If you have questions, keep submitting them in the chat. But for right now, we are going to start, David. We're going to start with one of my favorite subjects, therapy. We have Lauren from Maryland in the group chat here. So Lauren, we are curious, you know, there are a lot of people spend a lot of time and money and energy towards therapy. So hearing from a therapist directly is like a dream come true. Lauren, come on in.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, Lauren. How are you doing?
I'm good. I just want to give you a warning that I have a 2-year-old in the background, so this might not go very well.
It's all right. I got a 15-month-old in his high chair right now feeding himself pasta. So we're Mr. Rachel's on. We're good to go.
Yeah, you're in good company. Okay. Therapy. David, I got 100 questions. I know you do about the career track. Lauren, my first question is, what type of education do you need to become an official therapist?
So it does depend. I'm an eating disorder therapist, and I also specialize in anxiety. And as you guys know, I'm sure in the field, there is a lot of eating disorders and anxiety in the world, and especially in our country. So for me, I have my master's in social work. And I have my LCSWC, which is the highest licensure that you can have. But you can also, you do have to get a master's. Let me just answer your question. You need a master's, but it can be in social work. It can be in counseling. You can do marriage and family counseling. And you can also get a PsyD or a PhD.
David, I got 1,000 questions. I'll turn it over to you, though. You got anything top of mind?
Yeah, really quickly. Eating disorders with people that you deal with, what percentage in cases do you deal with are male versus female? And is eating disorders one thing that I think a lot of things that we talk to sometimes are male or female dominated? What's the percentage of male and female, and is it something that you don't think gets talked about enough in general and specific to a certain gender?
Absolutely love that question. Going to be super honest. I don't give any facts that I don't know the percentages of. I do not know the percentages. I can tell you I work with females and males, and I can tell you that I have more males on my caseload than the average person would probably guess. Okay. I'm not trying to stereotype, but it happens. It does not discriminate. Let's put it that way. And especially in the sports world, a lot of stuff in the sports world, from wrestling to tennis to this to that, just giving examples, and definitely not talked about enough. And I would say that a lot of people assume they have like eating healthy, and like that's fine. Some people just want to eat healthy. it can become obsessive very quickly. So I want to put a plug that if anyone needs help, please reach out to anyone.
I got two questions. So I'm hearing your child in the background, right? So my one question is around children. Words that we should and shouldn't use around children as it relates to eating. I know, like, growing up, my parents always said, like, you got to earn that dessert. And I know that I've learned a lot that, like, those are things we don't want to replicate. Love my parents, shout out, but we live and we learn, right? And then my second question, so that's more parenting. My second question is, with any form of eating disorder, I think some people all have an idea of what that might be or body dysmorphia might be, but the reality is in some capacity, at some level, we all might deal with it in some way. What are some big red flags that everyday individuals should start to think like, hey, maybe I should talk to someone about this if I'm doing X, Y, and Z?
So body dysmorphia, yes. I don't think anybody has a perfect relationship with their body. I think that we especially, come on, let's talk about social media for a minute. It's everywhere. Everyone wants to look a certain way. There's so much comparison and the game is crazy. However, I think when you start spending a lot of time thinking about it, you're trying to change who you are. It's becoming an everyday part of your life. That is when it becomes an issue. So if it changes your social and emotional functioning and you're thinking about it more than just, you know what? I don't like the way I look today. That happens. But if you're like, I don't like the way I look today, I can't wear a short sleeve in the summer. Things like that, not going to the pool, missing out on social events. That would be some red flags just to start you off. And what was your first question, if you remember?
First question was about like just having children around and making sure you're making the right impression when it comes to those things. What are things you should do and shouldn't do and stay away from?
I want to start with, we would never want to shit on ourselves because there's no way to perfect parent. I am not a perfect parent. I would say that, David, you're probably not, but you're probably amazing. We do the best we can and we're learning every day. At least I am. That's what I can say. But what I would say is that you never want to make dessert something that is like, if you're good, like if you're good tonight, we can have dessert, or we only have dessert on weekends. You don't want to shame a child for like, not like you didn't finish your dinner, no dessert for two nights. You want to start making the relationship with food a little bit more neutral. Like it's about moderation. We can eat, you know, Cheetos, but we also want to have our broccoli. There's no bad foods, but obviously there's, you know, we have to be careful what the doctor says and all that.
Christy just came in the chat with a question or almost a statement with this. And I love it. It says, please don't force your child to quote unquote clear their plate.
Love that, Christy. Thank you. Can I give you like a big love it? Yes.
It's okay. Mine just throws his food on the ground anyway, so it's not even
that. That will get better. We'll get better.
Okay, last question I got, and then David, anything else you have from a therapy standpoint? What should people, you know, as consumers, we spend a lot on therapy, and I have heard A to Z as to what people should pay per session. What are your thoughts on just the overall cost as a consumer? Like, what are some things we should think about as we're engaging with a therapist, and how much we should be paying?
So I would tell you that if you want someone who specializes, they may not take insurance. However, they might. So you want to start by calling your insurance and seeing who's on your list, because there isn't in network. There's a lot of people that are in network. So start with that. There is also something called Psychology Today. You put in your zip code, you put in what you're looking for, you put in it, and it can help you match with someone. If you want someone who's in a specialty, they might not take insurance. You can ask if they take a sliding scale. So those are some of the things. I can't tell you a cost because it depends on the part of the country you're in, but I can tell you this. If you meet with a therapist and it's not a fit, don't be like, oh my God, I don't want to start over. Start over. There is someone out there for you that is a good fit. Everybody deserves a really, really fun life. And again, thank you so much, Jason, for having me on. I listen every week and I'm one of the loyal and from the beginning, the OG.
Let's go. Lord, cheers to that.
Amazing. Cheers to that. Thank you so much for sharing all that. David, anything before we wrap with Lauren?
Lauren, I don't know if you're taking new clients. If you are, would you like to put a plug out there? If not, thank you so much for coming on.
I would love to put a plug out there. I work for the Eating Disorder Center, and my name for therapy is my name before I got married, which is Lauren Levine, L-E-V-I-N-E, and I am in Rockville, Maryland. So Lauren Levine, Rockville, Maryland at the Eating Disorder Center. So please reach out if you have any questions or for a free consult.
I love it. Lauren, thank you so much for coming on this episode of More Than Money. All right, David, we are off to a hot start. That was fascinating. It's always so good to talk to experts, especially experts in a field that we are constantly engaging with. Lauren was incredible. If you're here with us live right now, just go to the chat, put your name, what you do. If you have any questions or topic you want to talk about, we'll bring you in. But David, I know Jennifer from Toronto. She is a founder and she's an entrepreneur. She just submitted a question that I think both of us might be able to answer. So Jennifer from Toronto, if you're with us, can you unmute yourself and come on?
Hey guys, thanks for having me. So I've got a question for both of you, also a loyal listener. You've done over 100 pods. And at the end of every episode, when you get a trading secret, I want to know, like, which ones have resonated with you personally that you've adopted, applied, and have had like an impact on you in your life?
Great question.
I'll go first. And so many trading secrets are the crazy thing is we've never gotten a repeat trading secret, right? So we've never gotten one in the same, but we've gotten a majority of them that all say the same thing. I forget who it was, but I always remember it said, luck and opportunity doesn't find you sitting on the couch. And there's so many trading secrets that the underlying theme is it's really within. It's really just getting up and trying. It's really just, you know, not taking no for an answer. If you fail, you know, Barbara Corcoran style, failing your first 20 companies, just go and succeed. Like all the people that we've had on, no one had a success story from the jump, right? They all tried and went through their own trials and tribulations to get to where they are. So for me, anytime I'm feeling sorry for myself or feeling lazy in my career, or feeling lazy as a parent or a husband, I just got to pick myself off the couch and just stop making excuses. And, you know, we've had every podcast guest that we've had on has been successful and they all started just like everybody on this call. So Jason included, trust me, I know him from his days before he was all shined up with a ring light in his face. So that's my trading secret. My biggest takeaway from all the trading secrets is that theme.
I love it. For me, I think about the two episodes that impacted me the most, Chris Voss talking about the fact that even when he's dealing with a hostage that's literally trying to cut someone's head off, he's saying, I can't resolve unless they're heard. Right? And my tone and the way I react to things will have a huge impact on them being heard and us getting to the root of what the issue is. And whether I have conflict with a business employee, you know, it's Kat, it's my mom, my dad, a friend, a cousin, that has impacted me the most, that your tone, your delivery, and knowing that someone, even if it's a hostage that Chris Voss was dealing with, they just need to be heard. And when they feel heard and they feel validated, the solution to what the problem is will come faster. That's a big one. Rob Dyrdek, he's done it all. He's worth so much. His biggest factor in life that he tries to find out, literally searches for every day, is just happiness. That's it. And so he has a numerical system that he uses to find happiness. That blew me away. And the last one is Ryan Serhant saying, never try and catch a falling knife. Like trying to time the market, time investment, time a job, time your life. It's never going to work. You're trying to catch a falling knife. Don't try to catch a falling knife. So those were mine. So that was a great question, though. Thank you so much for coming on.
Can I ask one more quick one?
Yeah, of course.
So you wrote Restart and you've totally reinvented yourself. If tomorrow you had to do it all over again, what do you think the third iteration of Jason Tardik would be?
Oh, that's a good one. I think a lawyer moving into politics. I think that's what I would do.
Oh, another that sounds like the worst job those. In the history of the world.
I know, but I think I could do it. I think I'd go attorney and then politics. I think another route I would go is, whoa, you don't like it?
No. Oh, girl.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing too is I like behind the scenes and what I don't do on social media as much is I love to take devil's advocate. I love to challenge what the masses think and just think differently. Cause I think most of us are all born in like a little bit of a bubble. And depending on how you've been able to grow as a person or see other perspectives or just A to Z, the experiences you've had, I think there's always a way to challenge someone to just think different. Not that you're right or wrong. And so I always love doing that, but I don't know. I think that, you know, before The Bachelorette, I was going to leave banking to try to be an agent in LA, and now our agency is doing really, really well. So we'll see. Thank you though. Great question. Okay, David, have you seen anybody in the chat you want to bring on?
Well, you started off with something you said is near and dear to your heart, which is therapy. And obviously what's near and dear to my heart, working in the sports world of sports, Kelsey Rothaus is from San Francisco, a senior producer for sports media. Kelsey, do you want to unmute yourself and come on?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. How are you? So tell me how you landed in the sports media field, what it entails, and a little bit about how you got there.
Yes, it is definitely not a one-size-fits-all journey in the sports world. I went to college in the Bay Area at Berkeley, and though my education was awesome, nothing about classes necessarily got me there. I ended up taking on 7 internships in
sports
in the Bay Area, starting when I was a student and balancing the internships with being a student. And then I also started like a sports talk show while at Cal, did the internships. And then my final internship, the seventh and final one, I felt like I was going to be an intern for forever, was with the current company I'm still at and have gotten to grow at, which I'm very fortunate because full-time jobs in sports are a little bit rare.
Did you have like a dream of like an Aaron Andrews growing up sideline reporter, or did you always want to be kind of behind the scenes on the TV side?
You definitely nailed it. Yes. But I went into it very much thinking I wanted to be a sports reporter. And I joke, I had like a mini career in that kind of in the beginning. Also fortunate that I was doing this at a time where Bay Area sports on all fronts were very successful with the Giants, the Warriors, the Niners, everything. But I decided that, funny that we had the eating disorder specialist on, like I just decided being my appearance being tied to my work, especially being a female in sports, didn't feel like something I wanted to do. And oftentimes, at least back then, like 8 or 9 years ago, to go on air, you needed to usually start in a small market to work your way up. And I knew I didn't want to move. And then I learned what it even meant to be a producer. And I learned that there was a lot of skills that I got from being on air and conducting the interviews, building the relationships with the players and the coaches that I could still do, while also having a much larger diversity of tasks and a bit more stability. So being a producer ended up kind of being the best of all worlds.
I got a quick question for you. With producers versus hosts, obviously there's the Michael Strahans of the world and some that are just so successful outliers. But in general, if you took like your average host in like a middle market city or lower tier city, and then the average producer in those same cities, who will earn more over time?
Question. I would say sports can be funny in the way that it is overall, you're making less than like your average. I mean, I'm in the Bay Area, so tech, for example, is the biggest thing I can compare it to. You're going to make less than your average counterparts because it's so competitive and they like to dangle the carrot of like, well, anyone wants your job. So they can keep the salaries kind of around a lower rate. But then when you make it big, you make it very big. I would say also being a producer for a team is different than a production company is different than a news station. So that also kind of varies. A lot of producer can be a bit of a catch-all term.
You say producer on Jason, and he starts getting the heebie-jeebies a little bit from his TV days. Thank you for all the answers so far. We have a lot of listeners in our demographic who are coming out of, you know, that university age who've listened to the podcast. You've done 7 internships. It's a buzzword. What's the biggest trading secret or do's and don'ts about internship for people who feel like they need one to land the job that they want?
There's no such thing as a perfect internship. You are there to learn what you like and what you don't like, and both things are incredibly valuable. I also would say make as many connections with the people at that company that you possibly can, and more than just, hi, how are you? But like truly getting to know them. Yes. I think every single internship, I got the next. So making real human connections and just being eager to learn, even if it's the getting coffee or making, you know, a bunch of script copies, even if it's the very non-glamorous tasks, you do it with enthusiasm and you show that you care and you ask questions to anyone and everyone. And that's how you kind of get from one to the next.
Amazing. Dave, you got any other questions?
I have a question for you guys.
If that's yes.
Fire away.
Okay. So I'm currently at a point in my career. I'm 28, almost 29. And if you would have asked me, you know, years ago, what is my dream job? I would say I essentially have it. However, like I was mentioning with sports, there is a bit of a salary cap. And I do feel I'm probably at the highest point I can get to in my current company. So I'm kind of at that crossroads where how do I balance enjoying what I'm currently doing, which I do really love it, but know that it can't quite be the forever job, but also knowing I'm not willing to just leave for anything. And I'm kind of in a bit of a tough spot with that. So I'd love any and all advice.
Where do you want to be 2, 3, 5 years from now? Where do you want to go?
I would love to stay still in the sports media storytelling landscape. I know there's so many avenues for what that can look like, whether that is at a larger production company, like a Netflix, a Hulu, an Amazon, an Apple. There is the avenue of like working with an athlete or working with an agent, or for a brand like a Nike, an Adidas, something. But all of those are incredibly competitive. I also am very happy in the Bay Area, but might need to come to terms that if I want to pursue my career, I could need to leave. So those are the avenues I see.
two pieces of advice and they actually contradict each other, so you can decide which one works. The first piece of advice I would give you is stay present, slow down to speed up, and ask yourself, what in your current job are you doing the best at that you're actually enjoying the most? Because that might be the place that you will have the highest success rate. So sometimes we're always so focused on what's next, what's next, what's next. But if we just slow down and say, hey, what am I actually enjoying? Because so many employers right now, honestly, myself included as employer, are making employees wear 15,000 hats. There might be that one hat that you absolutely crush and you're not noticing because you're always looking ahead. And that could be the place that in 10, 20 years from now, you're changing the world or the industry. So slow down to speed up. The next piece of advice I'd give you, it's okay to not currently love, oh, we have some visitors here. There it is okay to not currently love your current position and to be thinking ahead and to see what jobs are next and to be reading the job requirements and the job descriptions and the skill sets that'll get you ahead. There's nothing wrong with that. So it's okay for today to suck, knowing that tomorrow's gonna be great. Especially knowing if you're not going to be in this position long. And so many times it's a means to an end. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with it, especially in a world like today where you will succeed by either being with an employer that is going to promote you, take care of you, and make you one of them, or finding one who will continue to do that. And now we're seeing the zigzag approach is working exceptionally. Twillery offers stylish, performance-driven suits, shirts, polos, and jeans designed for every aspect of the busy individual's life. Their clothes are wrinkle-resistant with plenty of stretch to keep you comfy, and yes, they're machine washable. That is huge. Folks love the new air suit, which is perfect for spring and summer. Mesh fabric is lightweight, so you will stay cool, and they keep selling out, so get them while they're in stock. Their long sleeve performance button downs are as comfortable as your favorite t-shirt, but look stylish enough for the office or even a date night. Special new customers now will get 18% off of $139 or more. You'll just use code JTA18. That's 18% off $139 or more.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be really quick. I think that I always look at things like I've said on the podcast before. I've gotten to where I am by following three rules: do something I love, do it to the best of my ability, and treat people the right way along the way, and good opportunities come. I think you've kind of mentioned a few of those things. So I would just reevaluate on that. Is it the career or is it the dollar amount tied to the career? Is it actually your social scene? Is it a new city? Do you need to maybe, like you've talked about in your internships, just go to a new environment, meet some people, do your thing, spread your charm, use your experience, and maybe a new opportunity comes that you can't even drum up if you sit on your couch wondering what the next move is all day. So I think a little bit of both of what aspect of my life, even outside my career, is really influencing this. And to Jay's point, what is my secret sauce that I actually do the best at that I can narrow down, and that will really increase the dollar of the next opportunity. So, but I love it. I love it.
It's a great question. Thank you for coming on. David, we have a couple visitors here. Unexpected visitors for this live episode of More Than Money. We got the one and only, where is she? Oh, there she is. MK's here joining us. And we also got Kat. MK, can you say hi to everybody?
Hello.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Hi, MK. MK, what is one piece of advice you would give us all?
Hello, everybody.
Kat, I have a question. As I navigate fatherhood and parenthood, what is one cost that I should be aware of that's outside of an expected cost? We're not talking increased food, diapers, those things. But what's one thing that continues to blow you away, or you can't believe, or you never thought you'd spend so much money on this when it comes to raising a family?
Yeah, I guess school also. Yeah, school, no. Doctor's appointments. Doctor. Even after you give birth, the fees, I didn't realize were so expensive. I thought insurance would cover everything.
Mm.
But it did it for you, kid. But healthcare and school.
Okay, that's fair. What's your dream? What, MK, what's your dream job? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Ballerina.
All right.
I love it.
Yeah,
there's a that's going to be expensive. Mom's right.
So Blake is a producer and works in operations with Trading Secrets. She is due in September. She has a question for you. She just put it in. What tips do you have for new moms?
My first advice is you're going to feel like you're losing your mind. And it's supposed to be like the happiest time of your life. And for some people, it really is. But your body's gone through a traumatic experience because you've literally not only made a baby, but then after keeping it in for 9 months, you pushed it out of your body. Your body's like, oh my God, what's happening? So this is also a huge fluctuation in hormones. And I had PPD and I was like, what the heck? I'm like, I consider myself super happy, but I was super not happy. And I think for new time moms, don't have this fear of stigmas. Like I had this really big fear that if I took antidepressants, it would seep into my breast milk and then my baby would be addicted to antidepressants. And then when I stopped breastfeeding, she would be depressed. And I was like, I can't go on antidepressants because it's all these old wives' tales that you don't even know about. And actually statistically, less than 1% of medication, let's say you're taking 20 milligrams of Prozac, will go through the breast milk to the baby. So yeah, my advice for new moms is like, oh, well, if you don't know, like, don't make judgments before you know, like you decide what's best for you because everyone's different.
Amazing. Okay. I got a couple rapid fire questions for you, Kat, from the people. Are you ready? How many months pregnant were you when you stopped running?
You know, I know something funny. I literally ran to the hospital because it was across the street from me. I kept going to the very end.
Okay.
Like I went to the hospital because I was like, okay, we're having this baby right now.
And then second question. AJ would love to know how you got involved with Stir.
I feel like as an influencer, you work for other people. Like you work for the brands that want to hire you. So I just wanted to have something of my own. And it was a brand that I used and I loved and I liked the people. And I just wanted something for my own, something that I could control. And I had a say in like creatively all that stuff. So yeah, we're starting small, but it's good.
Okay. That's good.
Do you want to say goodbye to everybody?
Goodbye, little piggy.
Oh, you called David a little piggy. Oh, you better run.
Piggy.
Oh, you better go. You better run.
Let the piggy bottle off.
Okay.
That's your name,
bro. All right, David, who are we bringing on?
All right, Iola, tell me what your question is.
My question is, I'm currently job searching, and it's been really hard because I keep getting, like, denials and stuff.
So how tight is the resume? How tight is your LinkedIn? You know, what else do you have out there that they can get an idea of what next steps would look like? And then the best way to circumvent the application process, and I talk about this in my book, is like you're throwing your resume into dark holes and you have no idea. It's like a black hole. You don't know like what is going to, is it just going to go away forever? Is someone going to hit a button? It's so hard. You just hit submit, 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 submit. The best way to circumvent that is either through LinkedIn or social media, trying to find who hiring managers are, who are people that work at those companies, who's in HR at those companies, and shooting them a direct message on LinkedIn. That is the best way to get people to respond to you because it's so hard to just hit submit and then wait for the response. So that is that's a thought that I have for you for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Griffin asked, what our top three takeaways from the last Trading Secrets focus group were, and he said he's so curious with the eyeball.
What do you think, David? You had a meeting one-on-one with one of our listeners from day one who had some feedback for us, and you were in the focus group. What do you think some of the biggest takeaways were?
Mine's twofold. One, a lot of people on this call as well and the focus group, I just think we're blessed to have such loyal and fantastic listeners and people part of the Money Mafia. So for me in my position, who's just a very regular 9-to-5 person hockey coach, like to know that we have people out there all over North America and the world listening to us, that's just something that keeps me motivated. So that's one. Number two is the whole purpose of why we're doing this, connecting with people, making a difference, listening to our audience. We all know business in the entertainment industry and especially the podcast industry is a really fickle industry. Some people want something, other people want another. I think Jay, you're a people pleaser. I think I am a people pleaser. We're trying to please a lot of people, but I think getting back to the root of why, when you first called me 3.5 years ago saying, I'm really excited, I'm starting a podcast, getting back to the root of what that is, financial literacy, helping people navigate, you know, finances and their careers, and then putting a nice little fun twist on it. So we have more fun engaging with everybody on this call than we typically do in a normal episode where you're just a host and I'm just the recap guy.
All right, let's wrap with this. I want to have a teacher on because I have so many questions about the entire teaching space. But we do have someone here that actually is an owner of We Write It Now resumes. So Christy, if you're still here, I'd love to hear a couple pieces of advice you would have for anyone out there that is starting to apply for a new job and they want to redo their resume or they have changes to make. What type of advice you would have? Talk to me. Resume writing tips. Tell me about the business and then what tips you can give the listeners.
Okay. So the things that you absolutely need to know, and I'll keep it short. I mentioned this in the chat. You got to know what an applicant tracking system is. It can literally make the difference of whether your resume gets seen or not. Period. The end. So that's the most important thing. The second most important thing about your resume is you need to quickly convince the reader, the recruiter, or the hiring manager why you're such a strong candidate. And you want to do that in the top half of page one. That is prime real estate. The most important things that you have, the most skills that you have, the most important skills that you have, it needs to be in the top half of page one. That's tip number two. Tip number three, hang out on LinkedIn. Hang out on LinkedIn. And to Kelsey's point earlier, it's not just about making connections. Connections are great, but you want to make relationships because you want to have a network of people that can be your sales team when you're in the job search, and they can be out there looking for opportunities for you. When they hear what you're looking for and then they hear about that opportunity, they're going to tell you. So get your network working for you. And you do that by building these relationships, not out of need, out of just true, sincere interest. That's it.
Brilliant, brilliant advice. That is amazing. And then Christy, if people want to connect with you or your business and you can help them write a resume, where would they go to do that?
LinkedIn, Christy Klein, or you can just visit my website at We Write It Now.
Love it. All right.
Thank you, Jason.
I think we just got about everything there, Christy. It's good to see you. Thank you so much for coming on. I do have a response here regarding the teacher question from Kaylee. Teachers put in a request for supplies and end up buying whatever isn't approved by admin, at least for the district that Kaylee works in. A lot of the essentials get denied, such as extras like Chromebook chargers, etc. So we'll do a deeper dive on that. And then David, you and I got to figure out how to do a clear the list on Trading Secrets. So everyone pay attention to the Trading Secrets Instagram page. David, you got anything before we wrap this unique, special, and wildly different episode of More Than Money?
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun adventure. I think MK and Kat threw a nice twist on that. I think that where else can you talk about therapy? You can talk about sports. You can talk about job search applications. You can talk about entrepreneurship. You can talk about everything. It was fun. Like I said, this is a blast to do, and thank everybody for sticking with us.
Yeah, it's amazing. We'll do more of this. We're going to set up a voicemail where you can actually talk one-on-one with us, and then we could also hear your stories, and that'll be more organized for More Than Money episodes and maybe even possibly full Trading Secrets episodes. But we appreciate you guys being here with us live, and for all those listening back home, thank you for being for this live edition of More Than Money, and we will see you next week on Trading Secrets for another episode. You can't afford to miss. It's going to be a fun one. We got Noah and Abigail from Bachelor Nation. They're planning a wedding. They do a lot of DIY work. And of course, Noah's brother will be on this week's episode of Men Tell All. So a lot of action.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready, I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.